guys.
Hi.
I'm Julian McCullough.
I'm Meg Malloy.
And we are The Soft Spot.
Yes.
The podcast that revels in the past.
We love it.
Things just aren't as good now.
They're really not.
They might get better.
I don't think they're gonna.
So let's just keep it safe and stay in the past.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
That cackle over there is Meryl Davis.
Hi.
I guess we were gonna keep her a secret. But.
Soft spot favorite. She's back.
I'm really good at keeping secrets.
She was our guest on her last soft spot was 90s R&B.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
An episode entitled Down for Whatever.
Yeah. And by the way, I just got to go on. I am not down for whatever. I am not that cool.
I know you're not.
I'm very uptight.
I know.
You don't seem like it, though. You have like a cool exterior.
Julian has a very cool exterior, but yeah. He is... Whew,
it's a ruse.
It is paper thin. My chill vibe is paper thin.
The facade is truly funny. Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Very a chill dude. Just yeah.
It's like a
easygoing.
Veil. If you look close enough, you can see everything.
Right, you can see that he's just like, he just does this thing with his eyes where they just dart around.
They're
and
constantly.
You just,
I'm like a
you just know his
meerkat.
His little brain is on fire.
Yeah.
He looks chill, but
underneath it all.
He's pew, pew, pew
Meg
in his head.
Has a much deeper facade of chill.
My, yes.
But then her core, like her, if she's the earth, her core is liquid hot anxiety.
And she's
magma,
gonna lava
hot,
you.
Hot magma.
She's gonna lava you.
But it takes a, I am. Mm-hmm. It's gonna take a lot for
takes
you
a lot
to
of drilling.
See it. Because I think even in panic mode, I remain pretty calm.
Mm-hmm.
That's really funny.
But,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's like if you start drilling, eventually things start to get really hot and you're like, I think we got to get out of here.
Yeah. I think Julian knows the feeling.
That's funny.
So, Meryl, thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me back.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to, you know, brag or anything, but I love you guys as friends. And so it's an honor because I also love this podcast. To be back. I'm just going to keep
love
telling
you, said,
you how much I love you.
I don't mean to brag, but I love you.
Yeah, that is a weird
That's a t-shirt
combo.
Right there. I don't mean to brag, but I love you.
I'll say things that I don't even know where they come from. I don't know why I put those two back to back, but, you know. We'll
how are you today, Meryl?
I'm good. I'm really good.
You mentioned four times on the trip over here that you had lunch with, coffee with your friend Sarah.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I would say that I have a combination of hungover from one margarita last mm-hmm. night, which will, if it's well tequila, it's like having
that's gonna happen.
Three good margaritas.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think, I don't know, like margarita math, but.
margarita math is my favorite Jimmy Buffett song. You got two margaritas, and three margaritas, four margaritas, and you hit the floor.
I love how there's a conversion rate. Three margaritas equals one good margarita. Oh my God. That could make for really difficult math.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If someone God, bless the children that have to take SATs now.
Yeah.
Although that's probably the only kind of math that would really feel relatable to me.
Right.
What is that Jimmy Buffett song that goes like, you know, there's something about like one, two, three. I don't know what it is. We'll figure it out.
I think you're thinking of when he was on Sesame Street.
Really?
No, because she was counting.
Oh. Fins to the left, fins to the right. I can't believe I remember that.
You're the only girl in town.
Right.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I grew up in South Florida, in Miami, so it's like Jimmy Buffettville.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then Margaritaville is in Key West.
Right.
Been there. Done that.
I don't mean to brag.
I don't mean to brag, but
I've been there.
I was a gay man in the 90s.
Uh-huh. See, now that's a brag.
That is a brag.
Yeah.
It's a total brag.
We are so excited to have you today to talk about your... are you calling it your ultimate soft spot?
I would say yes.
It's absolutely.
You said it was your softest.
She's my softest spot.
Is it softer than Tom Selleck's chest hair?
It's so soft. It's softer than the velvet curtains in Elvis's room.
Wow.
I like that better.
That is
I
soft.
Honestly feel like Tom Selleck's chest hair is not that soft.
He used to deep condition it.
Really?
Oh, did
I don't
he?
Know.
What a generous lover to
How
deep condition
you know that
his
and
chest
go,
hair.
I don't know.
He had a guy that would just do His chest hair.
Oh, man.
Amazing.
Yeah, he seems like he would have that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is very, what is that word that people use today for men who are groom a lot here?
Oh, I don't know.
I forgot the name of it. We'll have to look that up, too.
Precious.
Beard boys.
Beard boys. Precious bearded hilarious. Boys. Mm-hmm. I forgot. Oh.
If you're listening at home, just ignore the baby cough.
Yeah.
The baby cough is in my womb, and and that baby wants to come out. It's a little soon for that, but anyway.
It's just it's an egg begging.
Yes, begging to be.
Begging to be fertilized.
Yeah, I almost said she's semen, like, which is a
I'm
really
still
weird
here, Mom.
Not word. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm still here. I have one egg left, and it's soft boiled.
Your egg is thirsty.
It's poached. Yeah. It needs to be poached, actually. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
what's your soft spot?
My soft spot.
Softest.
And will always be my softest spot is Stevie Nicks.
Aww,
the queen.
That's a great one.
The queen of everything, Stevie Nicks. Yes.
We're very happy that you're doing it because you came so prepared with your last episode.
And I did.
And Stevie Nicks is worthy of a prepared guest.
Yeah.
I know you do your homework.
I did. And the thing is, even with the homework that I did, I'm doing it, I'm going, oh man, I should have done this over the weekend. Mm. But because, you know, she is really, and as you get older, you look back on who you admired when you
right.
were young and who you, had a huge influence on you.
Yeah.
But you never really realize it till you're older and you look back and go, oh, wow, like, that's what I was relating to. Those were the lyrics I was relating to.
Yeah.
Here's why she was such a, you know, there was a pull.
And she has such a specific sound.
Yes.
Like, nobody's voice sounds like Stevie Nicks.
No.
Not even if they tried.
Right.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. She has, like, just this weird,
sultry.
Ethereal, yep. sultry, mm-hmm. like...
Totally.
I mean,
I wrote down all the things that I feel like.
All of the words that her voice
like.
conjures.
Yeah, her voice and her essence. Everything
oh my
about
God.
Her.
I know.
Because I realize as I've gotten older and I still love the same songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never tire of them. It's just that the essence of her music, her sound, her writing, her style, everything about it, you know, when you're young, you just sort of, you know, kind of take it all in.
Yeah.
But when you get older, you, like I said before, you realize, oh, that's
she's
what
a legend.
This was. Yeah. But also, like, you kind of are able to sort of connect the dots as to what it was about her
right.
that you identified with.
Yeah.
And why now, when you're older, what those... You know, like, I feel like there are similarities. I definitely can't sing like Stevie Nicks. I don't have anywhere near the vocal cords of this genius or even the writing level. I can't write lyrics. So jokes, not lyrics. But I went back and I listened to some of the songs even and some of the lyrics that I was listening to and what I was relating to and realized it why now, you
right.
know, in my life. And it was really mind-blowing. I sound like I'm about to cry, but it's really just I probably need another latte. But
my friend Meryl here, she loves to stay caffeinated.
I do. I really do.
This bitch loves a latte.
I do. Everyone's going.
Every single time we're going to meet up, she's like, I'm going to grab a latte. Every
I'm
time.
I'm addicted to lattes for sure.
I never knew that milk could be so energizing.
Mm.
There's so much milk in a latte.
Well, for me... you know, I know
Are
I'm
going to
sound like a white lady, but it's oat milk that I'm really into.
Right.
And if they don't have it, it's almond or soy.
Gotcha.
Really, really. I mean, milk is great. Milk by itself.
I wonder if Stevie Nicks.
To this,
I know.
The milk section.
I don't know.
How do we end up in the milk
section? I was
section?
Just going to say, though, I wonder if Stevie Nicks has like a major coffee thing. Mm. I'm assuming mm-hmm. she doesn't do... as much blow these days.
Well, I think but she after almost lost her nose.
Yeah,
so.
After your bod gets so used to just like being on fire all the mm-hmm. time. I mean, when you put coke in your butt, Like, where can you go from there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where can you go from there?
Well, do you... Studio 54.
Yeah, I guess so. But I'm like, what does she do now? Is she sober? I don't know if
she's
anybody really
she's,
knows
she's
sober.
Still alive. She's got to be sober.
Yeah. She's sober. Yeah. She must drink a buttload of
coffee.
Of coffee.
Yeah.
She said her doctor told her that if she did cocaine one more time, she'd have
she'd
a brain
die.
Aneurysm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly right.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
and she was like, agree to disagree.
Has anybody ever validated the claim that she put it in her butt?
It's such a...
Is that just a, like...
A rumor?
A rumor?
From
the
know.
Album rumors.
I know, I was going to say, is that just some rumors?
Right.
But...
No, I think that that's
I feel like
accurate.
I feel like that comes up every time anybody talks about her.
It does, yeah. I don't think it's that weird.
Really? Right.
From back then, when they were doing so much of it, I think
yeah,
a lot of people...
I guess so.
I think we think it's crazy.
I just watched the Studio 54 documentary, and even just the stills were so wild that I could totally see in somebody putting a funnel in their butt. And
yeah,
being like, just shove some drugs in there, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know I read a lot about Fleetwood Mac and that whole, like, they're all their relationships. Mm-hmm. It's really funny. I'm sitting here, like, since you can't see me, listener, I'm looking at my big encyclopedia of Stevie Nicks. It would be amazing, though, if I did have like a... I would buy that, though. I would buy a series of Stevie Nicks encyclopedias. And I've never been that person. It sounds like I have been, but
A Stevie-pedia?
A Stevie-pedia. Mm-hmm. I love it. I've never been like one of those... I don't know. Like, I was never really like a groupie or, you know, somebody who just got so into. Is it my phone that's making that noise? Oh, I know. I'm sorry. Oh, geez. Hold on. Let me figure out a way.
Now it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I turned off the internet.
Oh, gotcha.
I think that's why.
Yeah, my internet's off.
I went to airplane mode. Okay. Okay. So, hi. They're like,
do you remember the first time?
Yeah,
you,
when did you get into her?
I was definitely really young. I would say probably like, I want to say like 9, 10, 11, somewhere in there.
Who do you think was like, check this out? Or was it just like you heard it in the elevator?
I think, I feel like my mom, actually, because they were listening to Fleetwood Mac, my parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just really was drawn to her voice. And then my two favorite songs, and the thing is, I don't know the order of this, but I'm sure we can look it up. I was obsessed with, my two favorite songs of all time are Gypsy and Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really got into Belladonna, the album, and then I listened to that all the time. And I
As
had the
kid?
Stevie Nicks posters, yes.
Yeah.
And I had her posters on my wall. And now, I sort of looked at lyrics that I remember repeating in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And so this episode is going to be darker than But I related to those because... Everything about her was her lyrics felt like she was free and fearless and she wasn't afraid. Mm-hmm. And even some of the lyrics that I wrote down about her saying, you know, I'll look it up while I'm talking. But I think because my childhood was pretty dark and really intense and chaotic and fearful. I was terrified. I was terrified of my parents. And there were songs that she...
Did you grow up in the Jackson family by any chance?
I might as well have. In some cases,
Wouldn't
yes.
Wouldn't it be so funny if that's what Michael Jackson was doing? He was just trying to look like you forever.
Oh, my God.
That's what happened to him.
That is
because you were the
terrifying.
Favorite. You were the favorite daughter.
Oh, my God. That's terrifying. I was, actually, but that's not a good thing. In my family, that wasn't a good thing. I wish they were like, oh, we're not going to pay attention to her.
Yeah.
That would have been good.
It would have been better to be ignored by your
For
parents.
For sure. Absolutely. I would have come out much better. No, I think I was looking at, so one of the things I wanted to say earlier, and I forgive me, I'm so scattered today.
Mm-hmm.
No Adderall.
I'll keep
caffeine.
You on. I'll keep
okay,
you
good.
On
okay,
track.
Good. So the things were that I was... So one of the ways I found out about her, but I may have known even earlier, was my mom and I, when I got my period, the day that I got it.
This is already a perfect story.
It was kind of amazing, actually. This is one of my more wonderful memories with my mom, because we were in the car and she had picked me up from like cheerleading or something. Practice, and I was like 13, I think, and like so, 12 or 13.
I love how you're really setting the stage.
Yeah.
At that point, you're a cheerleader. You're a cheerleader, and you don't have your period yet, so you're like into like Mickey, like Tony Basil,
right?
And
then, right. And exactly.
Then, and then
Madonna,
in one afternoon, everything changes.
Right.
And
exactly.
Now, you're into Stevie
now
Nicks.
I'm into Stevie Nicks. Right. No, I know. It's like, oh, the darkness. That's what the darkness is. Okay. But it was like, I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I know my mom had picked me up from school, and then Edge of 17 came on.
That's the first one I remember hearing, too.
I think that was my first one, because then we were jamming out to it in the car, and I was just, like, so into it, and I had a bonding moment with my mom.
That's awesome.
And the thing with my mom is she's the kind of person that you're like, if you're not blood related and you don't have to spend more than 24 hours with her, she's the most amazing person in the world. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, she's the most terrifying person in the world. So
there's
I grew up with a Jekyll and Hyde person, unfortunately. So when people say to me, like, well, what about, why would you stay in a family where your parents were so abusive or hard or tough on you? Because those moments where when you're a kid, you get to bond over Stevie Nicks. In that moment, you think your mom is the coolest person in the world.
And you cling to it.
And you bond, and then you wait for those moments.
Yeah.
You live for those moments.
When in fact, it's Stevie Nicks who's the coolest person in the world.
Exactly. Oh, Julia, you're amazing. Yes, that's exactly right. So then it became about, you know, I had her posters, and when I heard Gypsy and Sarah, those two songs, that was it. Mm-hmm. I was like, and I couldn't figure out why. And now, like I said earlier, I know why. But this is what I was really, now looking back, I was really taken by her style, of course, because everybody was like, oh my God, who
is
this?
Yeah, I was going to ask you. Well, you know, first of all, I just want to say, to get back to that memory
real quick.
Edge of 17 is like one of the best driving songs.
It
anyway.
Is.
To hear
it
that for the first time in the car is like exactly how you're supposed
to hear it.
That's how
I remember. Totally. I remember hearing it in the back of my mom's blue van, and I was like, what is this?
Yeah, you're like, this is
so
not,
cool.
We're not in a blue van anymore.
No. We're like ripping through the desert in a Camaro, baby.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is it.
I think she embodied, you know, so yes, that experience is, of course, you never forget something like that.
Yeah, when that syncs up perfectly like that, it's incredible.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
No pun intended. It did sync up. I don't know if it's sunk up with my mom. Sunk up? Sank up? Whatever. That's not a proper grammatical. I'm never going to say that. My grammar's great.
I think it's sunked up.
It's sunked up.
It's sunked up.
And maybe my peer was syncing up with Stevie. Who knows? But at the time, I was so... I think what was cool about it was that my mom, another great quality that my mom has is she is so subtly, and then also hits you over the head like a bat, a pro-woman, intense woman person. Mm-hmm. And Stevie embodies that empowerment that at a time, no one could put their finger on that.
She's she doesn't need
anybody. Independent, badass, you know, her own style, her own sense of self, and at the same time, so sensitive and vulnerable and scared and lonely and dark. And I didn't know that I was embodying all those things, or I was drawn to this like sultry, and then at the same time, she has this royalty to her.
Mm-hmm. She's so regal.
Mm-hmm. And then vulnerable, but then so strong. I mean, she had all these incredible feminine queen qualities that you would want in a royal queen.
I agree. She was, style-wise, she was able to pull off some, like, crazy stuff that would look like absolute trash on most people.
Right.
But she did look like a fucking queen.
Yeah, a queen looked, like, feathers and lace.
Yeah, and pearls and just and all the soft, wonderful
velvet
things.
She was like a velvet drape, you know, walking with, like,
the
lace.
The shawls,
and,
like,
I know, and I was just going to say, can we start the podcast now? Because I'm so in Stevie mode. But yeah, no. And then her beauty. Like, she's gorgeous.
She's a babe.
She just, everything about her, the voice. So a masculine voice, but such a feminine voice at the same time. So you couldn't really categorize her.
Yeah.
Which is what was so beautiful about her. And then I think what happened to me was, like, as I got more and more into listening to her, I realized, like, oh, that's what I was, you know, oh, that was, like, part of, you know, my relationship with my mom or my relationship with my parents or my relationship with myself, like, figuring out who I was becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, she is absolutely, like, my softest spot. And when people say, oh, you know, who would you get starstruck by?
Yeah.
Absolutely Stevie Nicks.
Oh, me too. I wouldn't know.
I love Meryl Streep. I love.
Oh,
you know,
she would change the color of the room. Like,
totally.
If you were walked into a room and she was in there, the room would get, like, purple or something. It'd be crazy.
And I had a neighbor just only, like, 3-4 years ago in downtown LA who was on tour with her for a while as her drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I had just bonded in general because we both walk our dogs at the same time. And so we got to know each other just through our dogs. And then at one point, I told him, you know, I did comedy. And then he was like, oh, I love comedy. And then he told me he was the drummer for Stevie Nicks. And I almost fainted. I went, what? Huh? What? I was like, you don't understand. You don't understand. I was that person.
He looks so much taller on the record cover.
Well, yeah. I mean, he isn't
I'm joking. He's not McFleetwood.
He's not exactly.
That was a McFleetwood joke.
Sorry. I was so starstruck and still am just talking about it that I'm getting, like, shaky. Mm-hmm. But I would just love to meet her. But then I'm also scared to
meet
her.
Did you ask him what she was like to hang out with on a casual level?
Yeah, he just said she's the coolest person.
Yeah.
She's just so cool. And I said I would probably just turn into, like, a ball of mush and giddiness.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe I'd be cool, but, like, just talking about it right now with you guys, I'm already...
You have to be cool for multiple bandmates to want to date you.
Yeah.
That's true. That is true. Well, they all dated each other.
They all dated each other.
Yeah. It was
so wild to me.
Me too.
Because when I break up with someone, I'm like, you're
See
dead.
See you later. Yeah.
You died. Yeah. That didn't happen.
You can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
It's like you're in a ancestral family.
Yeah, I could
sitch.
Never do that. That's like my idea of
no
hell.
Boundaries.
Being in an artistic bond with someone that.
Totally.
So
same.
This.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, she is my all-time inspiration. Sorry, go ahead.
The that when they did that song Silver Springs, and I've just always thought, because you're talking about what a badass she is, and in that song she's got that line like you're gonna hear you're always gonna hear the voice of the woman that haunts you or something like that, basically saying I'm famous as hell. Our songs will always be on the radio. And you wronged me, and now you're going to have to hear my voice for the rest of your life.
It's wonderful.
She sings it at him while he plays guitar on the song,
awesome.
And I'm like, what is this relationship?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's really crazy.
I mean, Lindsey Buckingham, I think, was the love of her life.
Yeah.
I think they met when they were in high school.
Do you know where they are from?
She is.
I'm pretty sure
she's from here.
Oh, okay.
I think so, but I should know that. I forgot that. I did know it, but I don't remember now. But I know they met in high school, and they met when he was singing at a party, and he was playing guitar, and he was singing a song from the Mamas and Papas, and she joined
Mamas
in
and
started singing with him, and then they didn't see.
What a bold.
I know. Move. She is a bold woman.
I love that.
Lan says she's from Palo Alto.
Oh, I knew it.
Lindsay's from Palo Alto.
Oh, okay. I thought she was from out here, too. She seems like a California girl.
No offense, but I don't care where Lindsey Buckingham's from. I always assumed he was British. Lindsey Buckingham sounds like such a British.
I know. But it also sounds like a Northern California.
From Palo Alto.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true.
I was saying, we were watching the... Oh, she's from Phoenix.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yes, because she always rises again. A desert queen.
She is a desert queen. Yeah. How could I forget that?
Simple Health is all about care that fits your life, using telemedicine to provide simple, convenient, and affordable birth control prescriptions and home delivery. A better way to get birth control is here. Trying birth control for the first time or need to renew your prescription? Fill out an online health profile and answer some questions to find the best birth control for you. A doctor reviews if you're a good candidate for birth control, recommends a product, and writes a prescription. Then your birth control ships to your door on a recurring schedule, no interruptions. It's free with most insurance plans and starts at $15 a month without insurance. Already have a prescription and want to cut the hassle of pharmacy visits? Just give us your pharmacy information. We'll do all the work to transfer your prescription and start shipping your birth control to you for free. No more doctor's offices, waiting rooms, or pharmacy lines. Get birth control prescribed, renewed, and delivered from wherever you are on your schedule. Simple Health makes taking care of your health, well, simple.
Simple Health also offers affordable care regardless of your insurance. They do accept insurance, and birth control is free with most insurance plans. For those without insurance, birth control pills start at only $15 a month, and delivery is free for everyone. The prescription is usually $20, but my listeners, our listeners, get to try it for free with our code.
I think this product is really great because anything that makes healthcare for women more accessible, I am definitely a proponent of. And there's also the, it's discreet. And that's important to a lot of people. It's a personal choice, and Simple Health is a discreet and comfortable option. There are no labels on the shipment or telling a 50-year-old man your sexual activity. You just go to your phone and you do it at home.
So don't miss your chance to try this service for free. Our listeners get the $20 prescription fee waived by going to simplehealth.com/softspot or entering code softspot at checkout. That's the $20 prescription fee waived by going to simplehealth.com/softspot or entering the code softspot at checkout.
This service is not a replacement for routine evaluations by your primary care physician or a gynecologist. Chop up the ceviche and line up the blow. You've got a date with the devil. Profiles in Eccentricity, a new Starburns podcast, delivers debauched biographies of infamous super freaks you won't believe are real.
Like what? A demon summoning rocket scientist?
Trash hoarding millionaire brothers?
A blind teenage phone hacker?
Insect lawyers?
A porno samurai killer?
Cross-dressing nuns on the run?
And a Major League Baseball team strung out on coke. Which, by the way, to be the last example, little bit of a letdown.
Profiles in Eccentricities is a show about real-life weirdos hosted by comedians John Fahey, Aaron Pita, and Matt Brousseau.
What makes these characters eccentric could be perversion, superhuman skill, bravery, or anything else that sets them apart from the crowd.
Profiles in Eccentricity. It's like the scumbag This American Life. Sign me up.
Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Lindsay,
I do want to discuss Lindsay Buckingham for a second.
Oh,
because he, from what I hear other musicians talk about him, his guitar playing is truly extraordinary.
He's phenomenal.
I could not care less about a person behind it. Like, I think that I love his guitar playing.
But
I
don't
think
care
he's
about him.
But he seems...
he seems boring.
In the video for I Think It's Everywhere, he takes his shirt off at some point, and he's, like, being sultry and sexy, and I'm like... You're objectively a handsome man, and I've never been less interested in a person sexually.
Yeah, I would say that's there's a lack of big dick energy there.
Honestly, I felt that way about Adam Levine.
It's like somebody
Levine.
Who wants it really bad but doesn't have it.
Not to bring up...
That's exactly what it is. Not to bring back that whole BDE thing, but it's a real thing.
Bring it back.
Well, Stevie Nicks has it herself, so she doesn't need it.
She has 1,000%. She doesn't... She has so much of it. She never needs another
BP.
D in her life. Yeah.
She has big pussy energy.
Yes. Yes.
I was going to say this about Lindsay too. Like what you were saying is that a just recent thing was Adam Levine at the Super Bowl when he was not dancing and showing off his California tattoo, which was unimpressive at best. But it was crazy because I was like, he's not sexy at all.
No. His body does look like a Chipotle bag.
It does. And he's doing the Super Bowl. And it's like, could this get any more boring? I mean, it was a boring ass Super Bowl. Anyway, I found nothing attractive.
Yeah, he's
about him. And he can't dance. He doesn't dance.
His body looks like a SoundCloud rapper's face.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally.
Exactly.
He doesn't have the moves like Jagger.
He doesn't. And you know what? It's so crazy not to give them any time because they don't need our time at all.
No.
I just can't. Let's just...
But I was always attracted to Lindsay. I don't really know why. I think it was like the name and the guitar playing.
You
and
like,
it seemed cool.
You're into like modest dick energy.
I am. I am actually.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Humble dick energy.
I love that.
Humble, modest.
You're such a good person.
Maybe insecure dick energy.
Yes.
Even if we'll go that far. At one point,
I
did date.
Oh, I don't think Lindsay is insecure in any way. I think he's super confident.
I think he might be super confident, but we're talking about dick energy and not his overall energy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
like my attractive. Vibe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I used to be attracted to like... you know, like the Eeyore type of guy.
Yeah.
You know, like the belly with the beard. You know, kind of like a bear. What
a human Eeyore. I like that.
Like a straight bear.
Speaking of which, we had a wonderful time with Joe DeRosa this weekend.
Goodness.
Speaking of human Eeyores, Joe DeRosa.
He is.
He embodies that vibe.
Yeah. Personality and body.
I was like, I need to break out of this and like get a Tigger or something. You know?
Get a Tigger.
It's too like sad.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, therapy, it's too late.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I
think the reason I'm attracted to that is because I think that Eeyore would be too lazy to cheat. And I'm so
you
afraid.
So you want an Eeyore in the streets and a Tigger in the sheets.
That's exactly what I want.
Okay.
That's absolutely. And I want to poo.
Boing, boing, boing,
boing, boing, boing, boing, boing.
And I want to poo in the eats.
You know? you just titled our episode. A poo in the eats. We can't do that. We can't do that.
That sounds weird.
A Stevie Nicks
but
episode.
If we can
unfortunately.
Start this episode with a laugh, let's start there.
Okay. Meryl, we can't keep starting the episode.
I know.
We're almost
I just
done.
I keep starting it over. I know.
So we're talking about her dating.
Can
right?
we
so
play
we went
a
from
little
Lindsay,
tracks? Like a few of the tracks.
Sure.
We have
are
the
we
dingle,
allowed
dangle,
to?
Dongle.
Yeah, we just have to talk over it a little bit.
Okay.
But
sure.
Meryl, will you be able to talk over it?
As wonderful as Stevie is, we don't need her coming for us.
Right.
Right.
Frankly, we don't have the funds to fight that kind of lawsuit. Right.
Well, I don't think she comes after you with a lawyer. I think she comes after you with a
She casts a spell.
She casts a spell or some incense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I said incense. That's what came to mind.
I looked up what her... Because I'm like, what is her background?
Yeah, no,
and,
please. Sure.
Her dad is English, and her mom was a raven. So that's how...
That's very funny.
That's
very
how they
funny.
Do that's how
I
they
love
did that.
That so much. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yes. And this album cover is
amazing.
Ever at that.
I had the poster.
Yes.
I'm saying it like I had a diamond ring. And it was
do you
six
have a,
carats.
Do you have a specific memory attached to this song or no? Or like a time?
Definitely. I would say, see this right here, just these lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you can ride high atop your pony. I know you won't fall because the whole thing's phony. That's my
cuts
parents.
To the core.
Wow.
So you can fly swinging from your trapeze, scaring all the people, but you never scare me.
Wow.
That was my childhood with my siblings when she said scaring all the people.
Right.
And And it's like, I'm not going to cry, but it just reminds me of whenever I'd go to my room and I would just listen to this. It would make me feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody else has gone through something as hard as you're going through.
Yes. At such a young age.
That connection is like all that really, when you're young, when you're like an adolescent.
Yeah.
That's why music is so powerful to adolescents, because it's like you think it's to you, and it is in a way. I mean,
right?
You know,
right?
It feels like a direct communication sometimes.
Yeah,
it does. It did, and it's weird because I didn't, you know, I wasn't conscious of that, you know. And now it's like, wow, like going through the lyrics, I'm like, oh, no wonder I was so into it.
Yeah, yeah. Connecting with
her. And then, so we had. Sadly, an abusive relationship. I hope that she coughed at the perfect time. She's like, I was very protective of my siblings. Mm-hmm. Even though I was the middle one, I didn't want them to get hurt.
Right.
So I would take it. I'd be like, I'll take
the brunt of things
or the yelling or the hitting or whatever. I even remember one time my dad was going to spank my sister for something, and I didn't want to hear her cry. Mm-hmm. So I said, oh, no, Dad, I did it. And I just, like, I wanted to protect them so badly, and I was so terrified. I mean, I'm still terrified. Mm-hmm. I'm in my 40s now.
Yeah.
And I still, my boyfriend Kevin knows this, I had, before I went to New Mexico to take care of my dad recently. He's really sick. Mm-hmm. I was terrified.
You put in a butt pad?
I had nightmares.
My mom said she used to put a book in her pants.
Really?
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Grew up in a rough... Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like prison stuff where they like strap phone books to their...
I'm so excited that you're making this funny because I don't know how yet and I want to make it funny.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wasn't there, so that's my luxury.
Yeah.
No, but I mean that as it's a goal of mine. But the thing is that, I mean, I can still make jokes about it, but within this context, I was terrified to go home, and I had these nightmares, even now, of my mom, you know, her energy, her meanness, and things she would say or do. But so the point is, like, with Stevie, I think she evoked a fearlessness.
Absolutely.
And a strength and an independence that I didn't have, that I didn't know how to access.
Yeah.
Until even now, sometimes, I don't know how to say, I've got this. I'm strong. But what I love about her is within that.
You listen to it and it like summons something in you.
Yes. And within that, people might think vulnerability or sensitivity or admitting, opening up your belly and admitting loneliness and darkness. That's a strength.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it took me years to know that that's okay to have that and that that's a strength, because people who don't know that treat you like you're a heel.
Absolutely.
And they don't respect or admire you. They just think you're weak and you think you're weak. And that was sort of the role I played. And so whenever I stood up for myself, I'd get knocked right back down because they'd be like, who are you? You know, it's like a bully.
Right.
You know, standing up for yourself.
She is kind of validating that there is an attack, that there is there are these people, like who she's talking about in that pony phony line. If you're young and you're like, am I the only one dealing with this stuff? She's saying, like, not only am I strong so you can be strong, but you're legit fighting something.
Yeah.
And it's real. And so being told that you're enemy is real is a very empowering feeling.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's implied in these songs.
Yes. That you know. Fears are valid, that these things happen to everyone. And
totally.
Even Desert Queens. Mm-hmm. I just have to talk about. We'll take things in a slightly lighter direction.
Yes. Please.
Have you seen American Horror Story?
I haven't. I live down the street from the house that was in the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I used to walk over
there.
You gotta
point it out
to
me when we
go. Not bragging.
Not to brag.
Not like that. I was in the apartment building down the street, but that house was really cool, and I've always wanted to watch it. And admittedly, not until recently, and I feel like this is a huge thing, I used to be terrified of horror movies, shocking, because in my childhood, people would be like, why are you so scared? And I'm like, I grew up in one. Thank you very much. But now I feel like this is a sign of healing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of enjoying horror movies now. I'm getting into them.
I'm not quite there yet.
You are not.
I don't know how. I mean, it depends. I can't, you know, like something, you know, like Bird Box, for example. I was watching it and halfway through I stopped Kevin and I said, I can't keep watching.
It's entirely about motherhood. That's probably why. I think that movie is entirely about motherhood and like postpartum issues, postpartum depression, psychosis, like the fear of not doing things right and feeling like you're walking forth blindly with a person who's like, keep me alive.
Right. And I
and
also,
you're like, I'm barely keeping myself alive,
totally.
Dog.
Totally. And I also think that that's like along those lines of those terrible thoughts you have, even when you get as dark as suicidal or something,
right.
Then you've gone too far. You can't pull yourself out of it. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, look at this scary thing. And then
right.
bye.
Yeah.
So it's like, bye.
Bye.
Bye, Earth. But it's like, I think that also applies, you know, to the thoughts, because we're conditioned in our thinking as a child.
Right.
And so that took me out. Stevie took me out of those conditioned thoughts that I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough.
Stevie did something pretty scary, and it was on American Horror Story. Mm-hmm. And I just can't get over this. Because
Is it called acting?
Well,
really.
I don't know if you would call it that. I guess I'm assuming the creator, I think it's Ryan Murphy.
Yeah.
I think he must have some kind of obsession with her. And
I
don't blame him because she's great.
Mm-hmm.
But I never watched this show. I've heard that some of the seasons are good. There are great actors on the show, so I don't see why it wouldn't be. But we were in like the middle of America. So I was like, I went with
Mall
Julian.
Of America, I think
we were literally at the Mall of America in Minnesota,
yeah.
In the middle of America. And you know,
American Horror Story.
Julian was performing, and I just didn't have anything to do. So
I thought I'd get some chills.
Yeah, I just sat in the hotel room, and I was like, "What's on TV?" And I watched like a little bit of Kardashians, which I had never seen, which was a horror story of its own.
Right,
and then I saw American Horror Story and I was like, maybe I'll like get into this. And then Stevie Nicks comes on the screen and I was like, I'm into this. And then she starts seeing Rihanna, but it's like Rihanna, and it's like
I thought you said Rihanna. And
yeah,
Rihanna.
I know.
She's like,
singing Rihanna.
Umbrella.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm like remembering like, it and I'm getting embarrassed again. And I was alone.
She comes out on this like catwalk.
And she like is singing and she's singing this very slow version of it. And she's like making eye contact with, I don't know,
another
witch lady on the show. And it's like, I didn't know this was a musical thing, but she's like spinning really slowly and the camera work, everything about it was just like so
creepy. Yeah.
Creepy. I'm like, why did Stevie do that? Why did
you
do that?
It was probably the director who directed that.
If it was truly creepy, it would have been successful. It was not creepy. It was like
a failed
cringy.
Yeah, it was cringy.
Okay.
They did Stevie dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow.
I was really just.
Although I gotta say, if you're famous for that long,
as the children say, I was shook.
Yeah, you were shooken.
You were shooken.
Shooketh.
If you're famous for as long as somebody like Stevie is famous for, it's kind of it's crazy to me if you only make like one or two bad moves.
Yeah, you got to make some missteps along the way.
Right. Yeah.
She's gone this far without making any major faux pas besides Don Henley.
But it's like, not the same. It's not the same as like LL Cool J doing NCIS, but it's probably like
you're making
a decision, and you have to think about your fans who've been long term fans.
I know. I think she was like,
director.
I think so. She was probably like,
cool,
oh, you
show.
Love me, and yeah, and she's like, and I'm kind of a witch.
Yeah,
she is a witch.
The show is known for taking huge swings, and when it hits a home run, it's incredible, and when it doesn't, it's horrible, and it's known for that. It has seasons where people just won't even talk about them, and then it has ones that are like incredible. I haven't gotten into it. I just know that's how people talk about the show. So even if you know that, and they come to you and they say, "Do you want to do this scene?" You're like, "Well, it might be one of the home runs," and then you leave set, and you're like, "Oh, that didn't feel like a home run."
Not but to I brag, gotta but say, I love you guys. I don't know why that's what came back into my head.
But she said,
she looked amazing.
Don't blame it on her, though. Blame it on her wild heart for saying yes to that. Blame
She only has yes in her heart. She looked incredible. She's just beautiful, and she was still in her full Stevie
regalia.
But oh God, I just,
it's not her fault.
No, it's not. I can't blame her, but I can't unsee it either. And it really bothered me.
Wild Heart is, first of all, there's that clip that we should post when we post this episode of her singing Wild Heart before the show when she's getting her hair done. Have you seen that clip?
Yes. Amazing.
But that lyrics, "Don't blame it on me, blame it on my wild heart," is like such a, it doesn't feel like she's not taking responsibility for her actions. She's almost saying like,
I am who I am.
Right.
A little bit.
Yeah. And also, I'm not able to not be this.
How many sorority girls do we think have "Blame It on My Wild Heart" tattooed on their lower back?
I hope not a lot.
Probably. I think probably a lot.
I think you're overestimating the musical taste of sorority girls.
Well, not sorority girls of today, but I don't know.
Back in the day.
In the day.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Around my time.
They were listening to Olivia Newton-John and stuff like that.
Nah. Around my time, I graduated college in 2008. And I could totally see. I remember this girl I knew got a "Let It Be" tattoo above her butt crack.
What does that even
mean? And I was like, why would you do that? Also, in the intimate times, somebody's going to be back there thinking, wait, what? Like, I don't know. But yeah. I've got some bad tattoos too, so who am I?
Well,
to talk?
I'm
trying to think of a
tattoos.
Better Beatles song to have above your butt.
"Let It Be." Literally, it be. Like. It's like, "Let my butthole be."
Yeah,
that's really funny.
Oh, how about a "Babe, you've got to hide." "Hey, you've got to hide your love away."
Oh, I'm trying to think. "Hey Jude," I don't know why. "Hey Jude."
It only works if the guy's name is Jude.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you named your butthole Jude.
Could you? Yeah, that's true.
Some people name their cars. I mean, you could name your butthole. Why not?
God.
As long as I make Land laugh, then I know I did something right.
You're getting the job done.
It's really funny.
Well, now I got to name mine.
Now I got to name mine. Oh, my goodness.
I was going to say, viewers, you can't see us. You can hear us, though. Have you named any of your body parts? And if so, I want to know what you've named them.
Yeah, that's a good one. We do want to hear that. Okay, so my introduction to Fleetwood Mac was much less empowering and profound.
Mm-hmm.
I was introduced to them through their 80s songs, not their like peak, you know?
Right, right.
And in perfect Julian fashion, I prefer the Christine McVie.
I love Christine
the Fleetwood
McVie.
Mac that's like, totally. I love you, and you know what else? You're pretty great. Like,
yeah.
that's the emotional depth that I'm into.
Oh my God, it's hilarious.
But I remember somebody put on Fleetwood Mac's greatest hits.
Right.
And it's one of those experiences where you go, oh, they do this song? And then another one comes up, you go, oh, they do this song? And then another, they do this song? It's like every song on that greatest hits is like, oh, I didn't know I already loved all these songs and I didn't know that was all Fleetwood Mac.
Right.
And I still listen to the 80s stuff more because the 70s stuff.
And he puts the music videos on all the time.
I love them.
The 70s stuff.
They all look like they're like edgy real estate people.
They do. They look like they all own that Zach Morris cell phone.
Absolutely.
Know, and they're like closing deals.
But like in New Zealand or something.
Yeah, they're in
or
like a
Australia.
Farmhouse in England. Yeah. Probably the English countryside.
Totally.
That's what I'm guessing.
The sets of all of their music videos feel so like inexplicable to me. I'm like, why?
Well, the one for, I think it's Little Lies.
Yeah, I love
Wait, there's
Lies.
Everywhere Little Lies, and what's
I love
the one
everywhere
I'm,
else.
What's the last one, the 80s one that was big?
Where they're in the apartment?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
I can't think of the name
that
of
that video. We'll think of it. But that video looks like it's being shot in like a JCPenney photo.
I know. Booth. It looks like a small company Christmas party gone awry.
It really does.
Oh, that's so funny.
But I just love those songs so much. I think they're like brilliant songs.
Linda had too much eggnog, and you know, that's kind of the
Big Love.
Vibe.
No.
Oh. Dreams?
Love. No.
No.
80s.
80s. Wait, this is 80s.
We'll post some clips of it.
1988.
Oh, okay.
Don't Stop, Rhiannon. Go Your Own Way. Hold Me. Is it Hold Me?
Hold Me. It's Hold Me.
Yeah.
It's Hold Me. Thank you, Meryl.
Hold Me. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that video is hilarious. Okay, but yeah, I love the like easy listening Fleetwood Mac. The 70s Fleetwood Mac is like, I'm going through a massive breakup or I need strength to get through this therapy session.
Yeah.
But 80s Fleetwood Mac is like...
Where I have an ice cream scoop of Coke in my butt.
Yeah, you just closed on a condo in San Francisco. You want to go take a walk in the park.
Right, exactly. I don't know why I said it like that. It's like, right, exactly. Like
that's exactly what it is.
That's exactly what... And then I'm like a real estate agent all of a sudden. I'm like, yeah, exactly.
Okay, so let's because we got
to
wrap
up. So, well, I wanted to just mention like my favorite songs, but then I guess, well... If we have to wrap up.
I thought you were going to be like, I just want to mention my Instagram and my...
Yeah,
you should.
It's at Meryl Meryl on the wall.
Yes.
And are we really wrapping up right now? Okay.
Let's go to your favorite songs.
Okay. So can I play a little of each one? Or do we have enough time or not so much?
We can do a few seconds of each one.
Okay. Then in that case, it's going to be the two more... popular.
Okay.
Because
I'm with it.
Because
I still love Edge of 17. And I mean, I love the deep cuts too, but that one just.
Yeah, I would say Wild Heart, Belladonna, Outside the Rain, After the Glitter Fades.
Yeah. Can I just say that whenever I was like 16 years old, I used to have my alarm clock set to radio mode.
Mm-hmm.
And one morning I woke up and I heard the, you know, the riff, the beginning of Edge of 17. And I was like, weird, I don't remember like putting this station on. Mm. And then Bootylicious started playing. And I was like, wait, what? And I thought I was dreaming because I was like, there's no way that Stevie let them sample this song for a song called Bootylicious.
That's hilarious.
I did not think it could possibly be real. And I love Beyonce. I'm from Houston.
Mm-hmm.
She's the first lady of H-Town. But I just thought this cannot fucking be real.
If you think about it, though, it's empowering. It's a feminist song. It's saying, like, I am proud of my body.
I don't think you're ready for this jelly.
Yeah, and that's fine because I have it and I love my jelly.
Yeah.
So I can on that level, I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but this is what I think of. Where I'm about to move looks like Stratford on Avon, and you know where Shakespeare lived.
Mm-hmm.
And when
I didn't
first,
know that, but
did
thank
you. Not
you.
Know that? When I, first
I mean, I'm
went
sure
there,
Julian did because he's an English major.
Yeah.
But
when I first and I went there, and I was excited because I was like, "Oh, this is where Shakespeare lived and grew up." And then
right off Sunset,
right, mm-hmm.
Right behind Del Taco,
exactly. But this is the crazy part: they put a McDonald's there in Stratford-on-Avon, and next to the place I'm moving.
So now it
into,
really looks like you live in.
It really looks like there's a McDonald's.
By the way, now everyone knows where you live.
And the point of telling you where I live is not for you to come find me. It
but
was,
it's not for you to come find
exactly.
her.
It's actually, the point was, is that it's like putting a McDonald's in an iconic place and kind of ruining the specialness of it.
Right.
So when you put like Stevie in American Horror Story and it sort of isn't the way you think it would be, right?
Mm-hmm.
It takes away sort of the legend of it all, the icon,
right.
The iconic.
Exactly.
So it's like just, you don't need another house or you don't need a new car. Just stick with your genius. We all love you for this.
I believe they pitched it to her and she thought it was going to look great.
I'm sure.
I feel like it was meant to be an on-brand moment.
Because you know she says no to a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, to like a lot.
Yeah.
But anyway, so those are my favorite songs. And then my two my tutu favorite of all time that I can listen to anytime is Gypsy and Sarah, mm-hmm. our Gypsy and Sarah. And so even to this day, the depth of the songs and the lyrics, and I know before I was saying, like, it reminded me a lot of my family, my parents, and, like, being in power, but there were moments, like, with Edge of 17 and some of her newer stuff where mm-hmm. I was like, you know, like, You Can Talk to Me, those songs. I felt more like this is just me and Stevie. You know what I mean? Like my own little relationship with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not like the Michael Jackson situation. No. That sounds really fucked up.
You guys aren't walking under an umbrella with her.
I'm not. I didn't move in with her in her castle and stay the night in her room. But I would have.
I would have too.
For sure.
I still would.
Yeah, I still would.
If the offer's on the table.
Yeah. I'd be there in a heartbeat.
And I certainly wouldn't be snitching on Netflix about it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, they'd be like, did she touch you? I'd be like, well, time cast a spell on me. Is that the same thing?
So fucking funny. Okay, so can I play a little bit of each?
And of Sarah tell you? And Gypsy?
Yeah. Or is yeah, they're just too common. They're too, well, yeah, no.
I feel like everybody kind of knows that.
Let's do this right. Instead. Real fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
yeah.
Everybody can go listen to Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks. I think that's, we should all do that after
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I think so too.
What would be your, if Stevie Nicks is like, I want to hang out for a day.
Okay.
And you had to come up with what you guys do. What would your perfect date with Stevie Nicks be?
Wow. Okay, that's amazing.
Unlimited money, all the resources. What would you do?
Oh, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's an excellent question. I was going to talk about how the song Sarah was about Don Henley's child with her, but that's too sad. Anyway, moving on. So,
yeah, I was keeping that in the whole time.
Right, totally.
Thanks for bringing it up,
Mary. So
I almost did it, and then I didn't, much less Stevie Nicks.
Her Sarah. Okay, anyway, moving on. What I would do is talk about her not birth child, Sarah, the whole day. No, what I would do is I would, all expenses paid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
it's all on Stevie's dime, or however many dimes equals $75 million. Because yeah. apparently that's how much she's got.
So I think I would want, because I'm so fascinated with her and her life, if it was like we could take a private jet mm-hmm. to wherever we wanted, mm-hmm. I would want her to take me to all the places in her life that were the most important and mm-hmm. inspiring. And where,
and tell you the stories.
Yes.
Yeah.
And where the songs came from and where they, you know, those moments that she went, those moments where she wrote that down.
Right.
Or, you know, because, and then, you know, sort of go eat, talk, keep talking. And then I'm able to like write something from it.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. An article or something.
Right.
And then,
so you want to interview her for Esquire magazine?
I basically want.
Well, you know what? That's
her.
So perfect because yeah. it goes along really well with my Stevie Nicks fantasy.
Okay, what's yours?
Oh, I'm not done yet.
Oh, go.
Sorry. We'll be here for another.
And then you
four
guys
hours.
Have sex,
right? No, but thank you. I needed that laugh. No, it would be that,
mm-hmm.
and then we have like phenomenal meals mm-hmm. throughout the day, and then we go to. A studio, like her favorite studio, and she actually sings Sarah. I know, mm-hmm. like, what's she gonna do at the studio? She's gonna actually sing. You know, Sarah, and then probably like my two other, you know,
you wouldn't want her to
songs.
Sing Sarah to you in her bedroom full of shawls and beanbag chairs.
I just imagine feathers, like,
and like the whole floor
giant
is just pillows.
Yeah.
Oh, and she lets me sing with her, like
oh,
some
I
of the
that.
Songs.
And then she's
you know?
Like, you're amazing.
Terrible.
Okay, what's yours?
I want to go with her. I want to like ride horses on a beach.
Oh,
yeah,
now I'm jealous that I
want to ride horses
that.
On a beach with her. I want the wind blowing through our hair, mm-hmm. and then
I love that.
I want to like, you know, drink some wine mm-hmm. and have just like
sex.
Some yes.
Sorry.
Well, after
it's
that,
romantic. Yeah. It's so romantic.
I want to drink wine mm-hmm. and eat good food and talk to her and like pick her brain and ask her what the allure of Don Henley was.
Yeah,
and then I want to style her and shoot her and do like a photo shoot where
oh,
I get to
wow. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. because I miss that.
That's mm-hmm. amazing.
I miss doing all of that. I want to style her. And that kind of hair, that ethereal, like,
gorgeous.
That gorgeous. Crazy Renaissance braids, that is my shit.
That's mine too.
And I would want to do that to her. I want to braid Stevie Nicks' hair. That is my fantasy.
I have a weird Don Henley story.
Yeah.
You weren't done, were you?
No, I think that's it. I feel like that would take up a lot of time.
It would, yeah.
So that's it for me.
Is it weird?
I feel satisfied by that.
Okay. Is it weird?
Also, she would give me a couple shawls, but that's
right.
That's a given.
I want a shawl from her, too. I would it be weird if I was Stevie and you braided my hair, or we went like horseback riding and then that's
we
weird.
Could have our perfect Stevie. We could have our day.
Exactly. Just us. That's
yeah.
Okay. All right.
You guys would fight like our kids about who gets to be Stevie all day.
My turn.
Yeah. Pretend, okay. Pretend I'm Stevie.
You're on a horse and the wind is blowing in your hair.
I don't want to be the horse.
Oh,
I want to be
God.
Papa. I don't want to be the horse.
I want to be done.
That's hilarious.
That's what they always say.
Do you
want
to hear my Don Henley story?
Yes.
It's really short.
Yes.
So after I got out of school, I joined some weird, like, smaller gym. And I would go there and I got, like, personal training for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that it was, like, a celebrity gym. I had no idea. And so I saw, like, you know, Ben Stiller there, like, on the bicycle mm-hmm. with his, like, Adidas, what you call it? The
Yeezys.
Slippers.
Oh.
With his socks. Like, he was even wearing, you know, sneakers.
Like, he went out to grab the newspaper and ended up on a stationary
that's
bike.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
He's got a body like that.
So, he does. And so, I was on the, I was on the treadmill, and I was looking straight, you know, towards the door, and Don Henley walked in, and he was standing there.
Did you recognize him immediately?
No, not at all. I didn't realize that that was him.
Yeah.
And then he, I don't mean to keep bragging, he was staring at me, like staring intently at mm-hmm. me. And I turned around and forgot that there was a mirror behind me. I just thought maybe there's more people behind me. Because I was like, what is this guy staring at?
Right.
You know, and I turn around and I realize, that's the mirror. So then when I looked at him a little bit more, I realized that that was Don Henley.
Mm-hmm. He was staring at your buns bouncing up and down on the treadmill.
He was.
Wow.
And so that's my connection to Stevie.
I like that.
I mean, I can't believe that's my connection.
My favorite Don Henley story is that Brian Wilson was performing at the Hollywood Bowl, and Don Henley had a friend that knew them both bring him backstage because he never met Brian Wilson. So the guy brings him backstage, and he's like, "Hey, Brian, this is my friend Don." And Brian's like, "Oh, hey, man, you know, like, whatever."
Uh-huh.
And Don's like standing there waiting for a lot more, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so Don says, like, "Oh, Brian, I just want you to know, like, you're one of my biggest influences. I just look up to you. I think you're a genius and you're just amazing and your music means the world to me. And it's kind of why I got into music," right? So then Brian's like, "Cool." And then the friend notices how mad Don's getting because he's not getting his due.
Uh-huh.
So he says, "Hey, Brian, this is Don Henley from the Eagles." And, oh, I left out, Don had brought Pet Sounds and had Brian sign it.
Uh-huh.
And Brian had written, "Thanks, Brian Wilson." That's it, right? So then when he hands it back to him, that's when his friend goes, "Brian, this is Don Henley from the Eagles."
Oh, my
God. And Brian goes, "Oh, I'm sorry." And he takes the record back and he wrote, "Thanks for the great..." Oh, I'm ruining this.
You're
what
doing
story?
Right.
We
it's
have
fine.
To edit
We're
it.
With you.
Okay. So he goes, he signs it. He goes, "Thanks for the great music, Brian Wilson." That's what it was. And then his friend goes, and then he just gives it to him. And then he turns around like to stop talking to him. And then he sees that Don wants more. So he says, "This is Don Henley from the Eagles." And Brian goes, "Oh, I'm sorry." And he takes the record back and crosses out the great on "Thanks for the great music."
Oh,
and gives
my
it back to
God.
Don Henley.
No.
Yeah. And Don Henley
God.
Was
That's
like
crazy.
Devastated and walked out all pissed off and everything.
Wow. The sickest of birds.
If we can edit that story so it's cleaner, I'd appreciate that. But yeah,
hilarious.
I thought that was pretty awesome.
Thank you for being here with
thank
us.
Thank you for having
this
me.
This was a good one.
It
You're always
good.
So prepared. Mm-hmm. If I could give you an A+
thank you.
In softness, I would.
Aw, yeah. That's so sweet. sweet. Oh, that's so sweet.
So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, you guys.
And we're all going to at Stevie online and see if she responds.
Yeah, we are. We are going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's my everything. Oh, she really is.
And my ideal date is that she styles me to look like her.
That would be awesome.
And I'll be Steven Nix.
Okay. Oh, that's amazing.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. Yeah. Subscribe and review.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. The Soft Spot.
A podcast network. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts.